You may stand in this morning, please, for the reading of the Word of God together. Appreciate the good song service and the good Sunday school hour that we had today and the good fellowship that we've enjoyed with the people of God. I'll tell you, there's nothing like being saved and knowing it. Amen. And knowing your name's written down in that Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a hard job to get it out of it. These Armenians need to pick up on that. Amen. And they got the idea you can lose it. Well, you may be right, Brother Jerome. He knows he's right, he said. He's an intelligent man, Brother Jerome is. Knows he is right. Well, and I don't know why, but I am going to preach from this verse of Scripture today, but I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Kings and chapter number 1 and verse number 1. 1 Kings and chapter number 1 and verse number 1. And Lord willing, tonight we will be preaching on the dust from the furnace, from the ashes from the furnace down in the land of Egypt. All right? But right now we're going to be preaching out of 1 Kings chapter number 1, or chapter 17 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful this morning for your love for me. And not for me only, Lord, for all the world and giving your life upon the cross, that sinners might be saved. What a wonderful blessing it is to know that your blood is just as fresh upon the mercy seat in heaven today as it was the day that it was placed there. And Lord, to know that your power is still available to reach down into the depths of the lives of sinners and lift them out by the grace of God. Now, I pray that you'll help us this morning. I pray for unction, Lord, that I desperately need and power from the Spirit of God. I pray that what's said will not fall upon deaf ears and upon hardened hearts, but, Lord, that it'll fall upon hearts that will take it and lay it to mind and heart alike, think about it and meditate upon it for the glory of God, and may your will be done. I do pray that sinners today will come to know Christ, and I pray for revival in the house of God. Those that are sick, Lord, we pray for them that you'd touch their bodies and help them. Those that are traveling, those that are away from us, those that had to leave, we pray for them that you'd bless them and help them. Give us grace now in this hour, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read that verse of Scripture again. It's got a special place in the heart and life of Brother Hall, and especially verse number 3, but I want to read verse number 1 again for you this morning. And Elijah here speaking, and it says, "Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Now, I want to take that verse of Scripture for a little while this morning and preach on this thought, the appearing of God's man. The appearing of God's man. God's man, when he comes on the scene, it always has an effect on people. It always changes things. And something is always accomplished for the honor and the glory of God when God sends his man upon the scene. Now, at the time of Elijah's appearing here, the clouds of thick darkness covered the entire land of the nation of Israel. The images of Balaam and Ashtaroth fearlessly gleam on every side. That is to say that they're wrapped up in idolatry. And they're not one bit ashamed of the idolatry that they're living in. Idolatrous temples and Heathen altars occupy the sacred soil of the nation of Israel, and every hill smokes with their sacrifices. You know, that doesn't sound like much, but when you stop to think that God gave that land to Israel, and when they brought them out of Egypt, what did He say? That we may go and sacrifice unto our God. And here, the land that they're to be sacrificing to the Lord God Jehovah, there's being sacrifices made to the idols of Balaam and Ashtaroth. And Israel is living in gross idolatry. The people are drinking in iniquity like cold water. That is, they're living in deep sin. Nothing seems to bother them. Nothing seems to trouble them. You know, it's much like America today. It's almost, and I hate to say it, it's almost like our churches today. That nothing that's said seems to affect the people of God in our churches today. We don't seem to take anything or lay anything to heart. And you know, and I believe the reason that it's like that is because we're right exactly where Peter said we would be, that in those last days that scoffers would come and they'd be saying, where is His appearing? Things are just like they've always been. And I'm confident that we're living right there. The people are living in gross iniquity and sin. They're drinking it in like a man would take in cool water. And I hate to say it, but Ichabod has been written upon the land. For the glory of the Lord has departed. Glory of the Lord has departed. Their light has become darkness. And the salt has lost its savor. You know what the Lord said about that? The Lord said salt is good, but if it's lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast into the dunghill and trodden under the foot of men. And they have lost their savor, that is their flavor. They've lost their influence. They've lost their effect upon the nation. And I'm telling you that God's people have lost, we've lost our effect upon America today. There's not many people today that lay anything to heart that the people of God have to say. I went to hospital yesterday with Brother Andy and Miss Cheryl. They had brought her out and had taken her off up toward the room to be operated on, and we followed her to the door, and they took to the left inside the operating room. And a male nurse told Brother Andy and myself, said, "You come with me and I'll show you where to wait." And he looked over his shoulder and he said, "Who is that man there?" And Brother Andy said, "That's my pastor, Brother Hall." And the man's reply was like this, "Well, we've always got to have a Brother Hall." As if to say that the man of God has no business being here. This is a physical problem and not a spiritual problem. But I want to say on the authority of the Word of God, because of the fall of man, every physical problem is a result of a spiritual problem. Not necessarily on that person, but because man has fallen. And with that fall, and with sin in that fall, became physical afflictions in our body, as well as spiritual death to the soul of men. Now you can mark that down. And I didn't like his remark one bit. Amen. If I'd been a preacher, I'd probably took that cane, thumped him on the head with it a little bit, just let him know I was around. Amen. You can say amen. I'm the one talking, not you. Amen. That's right. And they've lost their savor. And the fire of the gold, the brilliance of the gold, the fine gold that used to glitter is glittering no more. But it's just a dim, dim look. And now, while darkness reigns throughout the land, history suddenly changes. I marvel at that. I marvel at that. And I'm going to tell you one thing that we need to learn, ladies and gentlemen. Is in the darkest hour that God's people can possibly be living in, is a very time to expect God to do something for us. go all the way back in the garden, the darkest hour man ever lived in, when man had fell into depravity, God came on the scene, and in Genesis 3:15, He gave us a promise of a Messiah that would bruise the head of the serpent that had brought about the sin that would run throughout the whole world. I'm telling you, in the darkest of hours, God is always on the scene. We're living in a dark hour right now, and we ought to be expecting the return of Christ more than ever before. We come to the house of God, come on now, and we sit and act like there is nothing going on, and we ought to just sit and just, you know, idly let time go by, because nothing is happening. But I'm telling you, what is happening is going on behind the scenes. We're not seeing it with the naked eye, but if we had opened up our spiritual eye, God give us spiritual understanding, I'll get to you, we can see what is going on in the mind and the heart of God right now, and what blessed event is getting ready to take place for the people of God. And while Israel sits in darkness, God's got something going on. And suddenly, I'm talking about suddenly, ladies and gentlemen, very suddenly, God changes, things change with these words. The whole atmosphere changes with these words. And Elijah the Tishbite said unto Ahab,
Amen.
Oh yeah, things changed immediately. When here comes a man out of nowhere. Here comes a man that no one has ever heard of. Who's ever heard of Elijah? Nobody. Ever heard of Elijah? But suddenly, hey, Elijah is on the scene, and he's got his finger right in the face of the king of Israel, and he said, and Elijah the Tishbite said, hey, and here's what it says, there is not, the Lord God has said, there's not going to be rain, dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. You just mark her down. Now, I'm going to tell you, he came with a divine command from Almighty God. Now, I'm telling you, when God sends a divine command through His prophet, ladies and gentlemen, people better put their little ears on, their hearing aids in, and listen to what Almighty God has to say. You can say amen right there. Now, Elijah seems to just dropped into Israel from heaven. He arrives without announcement. They didn't roll out a red carpet and say, ta 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 ta, and here he is, Elijah. They didn't say, here's Elijah. No, sir. Just from nowhere, Elijah drops in on the scene, ladies and gentlemen, without any announcement whatsoever. They didn't even tell the king, King, there's a prophet out here, says his name's Elijah, and he wants to talk to you. He's just there with his finger in the face of Ahab. Now, I believe he had it there. Oh, I believe he had that finger right in the face of that wicked, vile, ungodly man that was reigning over the nation of Israel. Now, get a hold of this. We don't know anything about his background, but there's a little conjunctive word there called and in verse number 1. And it gives us the explanation why. In the preceding verses, Ahab has come to sit upon the throne of Israel. He's wicked. He's ungodly. And along with his Sidonian wife, whose name was Jezebel, they had sin to sin. They had corruption to corruption, and among the Israelites, God's chosen people, there they're adding sin to sin and corruption to corruption. Now I'm going to tell you that word "and" simply refers back. Hey, it joins those structures together, and when Ahab and Jezebel come on the scene, God had already, I don't know how long, but God had been preparing a man by the name of Elijah. God knew what Ahab was going to do, and God knew what Jezebel was going to do. But I'm going to tell you something, God knew what God was going to do. You mark her down, ladies and gentlemen. God is not taken by surprise from nobody. God knows what's going on today, and God knows what God's going to do about already. Amen. And by the way, he is going to do something. I don't know when, but he is going to do it. Amen. Now, I'm wondering if there was anybody in the land that was expecting old Ahab, I mean old Elijah, to come in on the scene there. But they've added sin to sin, corruption to corruption. But among the Israelites, God's chosen people. But on the other side of the mountain, in the land of Gilead, God has been preparing him a man, Elijah the Tishbite. Amen. The only thing that we find in Elijah's background is found in his birthplace and his name. The word Elijah simply means Jehovah is my strength. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you something. When he put his finger in Ahab's face and said there's not going to be any dew or any rain, I'm telling you, he was not leaning on the arm of the flesh, and it was not words that simply fell from the lips of a mortal man. It was a divine command of God, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody say amen right there. And he wasn't saying it in Elijah's strength. He said it in the power and the might of Almighty God. Hey, it's time that we woke up and realize that as God's people, we have got a divine power living on the inside of us. And he's called the Holy Spirit of God. Now I tell you, he can accomplish great and mighty things for us if we'll yield ourselves to him and allow him to work in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. I won't say this, don't want to get ahead of myself. It takes time for him to work in our lives. Most people don't want to give God that time. Most folks want to burn up the roads and burn up Walmart and run the roads and don't give enough time to God for a flip of a used booger. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I've never seen a crowd of people today that can't give God any more of their time and what they do in this book. And then we wonder why we're having problems in our families. You want to know why? Come and see me after church and I'll let you know why. Amen. I've got several reasons. Amen. Why? Now, the word Elijah means Jehovah is my strength. Tishbite, meaning to convert. And so here comes a man that is Jehovah, leaning on the strength of Jehovah, and he has come to convert a nation. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how could it be done? He didn't do it. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm telling you, on Mount Carmel, that Elijah the Tishbite, leaning on the strength of God, ladies and gentlemen, turned a whole nation of Israel that was caught up in idolatry, worshiping Balaam and Asherah, had altars on every hill, burnt incense to every god. Elijah, through his power with God, turned that nation around for God. Now, I'm going to tell you, God's still able to turn his people around. I said his people.
Amen.
I said his Israel was his people. I said God can turn his people around. Are you one of his people today?
Yes, sir.
Are you saved by the grace of God? Do you not think God can turn us around today? Hey, God, I'm telling you, God's still able to send revival in the day. Well, God can send revival. God can wake us up. God can stir us up if we'll let him. Amen. I know that's right. That's exactly right. Now, and the land of Gilead, it was just a land of poverty-stricken people and lived in blind idolatry. Unless in an extreme emergency or necessity, no Israelite would dare take up his dwelling among those mountains. It's highly possible that it was to some wretched, poor family that Elijah was born and brought up. I said that to say this. Buddy, I'm glad that God uses nobodies. Now, don't ask me why I'm preaching what I'm preaching. I don't know. I'm just telling you what God told me to preach. But I'm glad that God reaches down in little families of nobody. There's not many mighty, not many noble that are called. Hey, God, I'm glad God picks the small, the nobodies, ladies and gentlemen, to accomplish His work on this earth. Praise God. God ain't looking for somebody to put into president to straighten out America. God's looking for preachers that'll stand in the pulpit and proclaim the Word of God and turn their congregations around for the glory of God. Amen. But I'll tell you, regardless of what the man of God says, if we're not willing to follow it and do it, we might as well not wait. We're wasting our time telling you about it. Brother Steve up here this morning trying to teach on temptation. And I'm going to tell you what, he said some things that some of us need to get a hold of. He probably said more this morning than I've ever heard him say in what time that he said it in. Are you listening to me? Truths about temptation. And yet some of us sit out there and talk and giggled and laughed and went on while the man of God standing up here trying to talk to us. I'm telling you, it is a shame and a disgrace. Come on now. I'm on the monkey on your back today. It is a shame and a disgrace that people don't want to hear no more about God or from the man of God and what they do today. I'm telling you, we're living in a generation that wants their ears tickled and that's about all they want. Amen, Brother Hall. That's right. Well, and here comes old Elijah on the scene. I want to mention two or three things about Elijah. Well, one thing primarily, and I'll try not to be long. It's about 22 after. I'll try to have you out here pretty quick. But I simply want to mention today Elijah's faith. His faith. What a man of faith to put his finger in the face of Ahab and say, the Lord God. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was in the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew, nor rain, these years, but according to my word. Faith. The prophet of God, hasn't been wasting his time, but has been alone in spiritual solitude with God, but suddenly appears with a godly commission of divine authority. There shall not be dew nor rain. Now I'm going to tell you something, ladies. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And I know, and I don't know who's listening, but I know we ain't got many preachers in here. Couple, possibly more than that, I don't know. But I'm here to tell you that a man of God better start taking time to spend time in some solitude if he wants some God on him about it. I know it from experience. You're not going to get it, ladies and gentlemen, in the crowds and running around. It's got to come in a place of solitude. Elijah was on the other side of that mountain in a place where nobody else wanted to go. But God had him there alone in a solitary place, just like He did John the Baptist, just like He did Moses, amen, that, amen, just like He did Samuel, that He might teach him the Word of God and give him something, a message that would turn those people around. He came with a message. Amen. Now, he had faith. And I'll run through these quickly. He had faith in God's purpose. There is no preacher that comes preaching that he doesn't have a purpose. Faith in God's purpose. And God had a purpose for bringing him around. Amen. Now you listen carefully. There's three things I've got. Number one, to rid the land of idolatry. Son, when he got done on Mount Carmel, he brought the prophets of Baal and said, slay them all! Is anybody listening? Does America's idolatrous ways not bother nobody in here? Does our sin? Oh, it's not as bad as you think it is, Brother Hall. I'm telling you, it's terrible. I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm seeing a role reversal in America. Maybe you haven't seen it. And I'm not downgrading women or I'm not uplifting men, but I'm telling you, I'm seeing women doing what men used to do, and I'm seeing men doing what women used to do. And brother, there is a role reversal taking place in America. Now I'm telling you what it's doing. It's just further setting the stage for this bunch of sodomites that's roaming around through the country. Amen. That's right. I don't want them too close to me. Amen. See that role model, Samuel. He come to rid the land of idolatry. And son, I'm telling you, when he tore down that altar to Baal, tore it down, and built an altar of God up on Mount Carmel, things began to pick up. And the Lord told him, said, I've got 7,000 that's never bowed their knee to Baal. And I'm going to get into this a little bit later. I don't want to get into it much right now. But his purpose was to rid the land of idolatry. And he did that. Amen. Now, secondly, his purpose was to restore Israel's trust in the Lord. When he got to Mount Carmel, what was the question he asked Israel? He said, how long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, then serve God. And if Baal be God, serve Baal. But don't stand in middle ground. He said, in other words, he said, how long are you going to straddle the stake and fence?
Right.
Now I'm going to, hey, how long are we going to straddle the fence, folks? I'm going to tell you, if it's a wooden fence, you're going to get splinters in your britches for long. It's either 100% for God or you're straddling the fence.
Amen.
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 One thing I've learned in a few years I've been preaching, brother, it's either all God for all or God don't want nothing.
Amen.
He will not play second fiddle.
Amen.
He don't want half of your heart. He wants all of your heart.
Yes.
He don't want half of your life. He wants all of you. Somebody said, how can that be? So, hey, just sell out to God and He'll show you how it can be.
Yeah.
When He said, if any man be my disciple, let him take up his cross and come after me. That's exactly what He meant, I'm telling you. Until we die to ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to take up that cross. No, sir. How long halt you between two opinions? Now, I'm going to tell you, when that fire fell, Israel stopped halting between two opinions. They cried out, the Lord, He is God.
Amen.
The Lord, He is God. Now, Jerry, I want you to get a hold of that. He didn't say God is Lord. He said, the Lord, He is God.
Amen.
Somebody said, now, preacher, that don't... What is Jesus' full name? Lord Jesus Christ. That's His name. The Lord!
Amen.
Elijah knew a whole lot more than what we think we did.
Amen.
The Lord! He is God. The Lord, He is God. And so He come to rid the land of idolatry, and He come to restore Israel's trust in the Lord. They had lost their faith and their confidence and their trust in Almighty God. And then He came to retain a voice for God in the land of Israel. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I'm going to be honest. At this particular time, Elisha probably was not known to Elijah. He could have been, but he probably wasn't known to him personally. But he soon was, because he was in the school of the prophets.
Yeah.
And God told Elijah to throw his mantle upon Elisha. But I want to say this, but every man of God knows the Lord has an everlasting gospel that needs to be proclaimed. And every man's got enough sense to know that he ain't going to be able to proclaim that gospel all of his life. No, sir. Now, thank God Elijah had enough sense to realize that down the road there was an Elisha, ladies and gentlemen, just waiting to pick up that mantle and run with it for the glory of God. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, and I don't mind telling you, it don't bother me a bit. I'm wondering who's going to pick up my mantle, right? God, it's going off someday. Maybe closer than some of you think. I'm wondering who's around to pick up the mantle. I'm talking about who'll stand up and look people in the face and tell them, bless God, they're sinners and need to get right with God. Amen. I never seen some of the stupid shenanigans people pull, like they pull in churches today, and expect God to bless them for it. They're fools is what they are. God's not going to bless some of the mess that's going on today. You can just say amen or oh me. I don't give a flip which one. I'm too far down the road for it to bother me anyway. Amen. That's right. And he's going to make available a man who will continue to fulfill God's purpose until there shall be time no more. Then I want to say secondly, and I'm hurrying. He had faith in God's plan. He said, there shall not be dew nor rain these years.
Amen.
When he told Ahab that, he had to believe it. He had to believe it.
That's right.
And the lack of water, what'll bring man running more than anything else? Why do you think all Israel was on that mountain that day on Carmel? I'm going to tell you what that nation was looking for. They wanted a drink. Their animals were dying. Some of their people were dying of thirst. There was no water in the land for 3.5 years. Not even dew to make the grass freshen up in the mornings. Not a drop of rain. I'm going to tell you what they come looking for. They wanted to know who could bring rain. But I'm going to tell you, listen carefully. The fire had to fall before the rain came.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, there'll be no rain on our church until the fire falls. Oh, I'm telling you, if we ever need... Oh, somebody said, I don't know what you're talking about, brother. Oh, maybe it's time you read your Bible and found out.
Amen.
Praise God, we need a little fire of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. So I said, I'm not a Pentecostal. Neither am I, but I still believe the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. I still believe there's a Holy Ghost of God. There's a Holy Spirit at work, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. And He is the fire of God that points men to Calvary and glorifies the Son of God. And we need Him here today. We got to have Him. He'll point sinners to the cross. And I'm telling you, He'll glorify Jesus. Oh, yes. He'll make Jesus become the most wonderful man in all the world. The most wonderful person you've ever seen in all of your life. Amen. Even with all of the marks from the beatings and the cross, I'm telling you, He'll still be the most wonderful, the most glorious, the most beautiful individual you've ever laid your eyes on. Amen. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want to ask you a question. I wonder how long Elijah was in solitude. And secondly, I wonder how much of God's glory he received when he was over there in solitude. Did he get any glory on him? I've heard preachers say, I can get under the spout where the glory runs out. A lot of them don't even know anything about it, glory. I wonder how much of the glory he got. I don't have no scripture for this, but I'm going to tell you, I can tell you two men in the Bible that God gives a picture of more glorious than any other two men in the Bible. One of them was a man by the name of Moses. When he came off of that mountain, his face shone and the people were afraid of him. That was the glory of God settled on him. Another man was a man by the name of Elijah. The Bible said he went up in a whirlwind to be with God. And that chariot split them in half, Moses and Elijah, or Elijah and Elisha. And the mantle fell, and Elijah went up, and Elisha reached down and picked up that mantle. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Those two men saw the glory of God. And need I say this any further? Matthew 17. Hey! Guess who was on that mountain with the Lord? in all their glory, buddy. I'm going to tell you, it was Moses and Elijah. Hallelujah to God. And I'm going to tell you why. It was because of the time they spent with God in solitude. It was the time they spent alone with God and learned about God. And on that day, God said, Moses, Elijah, you're the two I want. Get up on that mountain with me. Hallelujah. I'm going to show Peter, James, and John all the glory that man can have. I just thought of that. All the glory that man, all the glory that man can have. You can have that glory too. Hallelujah. Ain't that right? Thank God, yes. What glory. Oh, what glory. I had something else I want to say there, but I forgot what it was. Hallelujah. Huh? Help me. Can you help me? Help me. That glory. Oh, I know what it was. He said, I've got two witnesses. He said, I've got two olive trees. Book of Revelation. I've got two olive trees. They're going to be witnesses in the earth. And said, guess what? Said, one of them can turn water into blood. And the other can call fire out of heaven. I can tell you who those two men are. They're Moses and Elijah. They're those men that spent time. Oh, that's solitude. Whoop! Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, turn that water into blood! And there will be water turned into blood during the tribulation period. All the fish in the sea and everything in the sea will die! And there'll be fire come out of heaven and devour people. Just like old Elijah when he was on that rock said, if I'm a, he said, old man of God, come down. He said, if I'm a man of God, let the fire of God come down and consume you. And it did. Yeah, amen. That's right. Now, you listen carefully. He knew the lack of water, had faith in God's plan, and the length of time. He said, these years. These years. He knew exactly how long it was going to be. He didn't have to second guess God. He knew what to would be. And then the lessons that Elijah learned by that faith in God's plan. He look here now. He learned lessons at the water in the brook by the brook Cherith. Oh, he watched God provide for him at the brook Cherith. He had some lessons to learn at the widow at Zarephath. Not only the water at the brook, but the woman at Zarephath. That's right. The food! May I say this? God told Elijah, said, there's a woman down there going to sustain you. And I'm going to tell you something. Only thing he was saying, there's a woman down there that's going to serve you. Because I'm going to tell you, had Elijah not went down there, that woman would have starved to death. The food wasn't because of that woman getting it. The food was because Elijah was there. Amen to God. I'm going to tell you, God provided for him all those days, the length of days. By the way, it was 3.5 years, exactly the same time as the first half of the tribulation period. Amen! Amen. And he learned the wonder of Carmel. He saw the fire come down. 63 words he prayed. And the fire fell. Consumed that sacrifice. What a wonder. Then the wonder of the gathering of Israel, all Israel come together. And the foolishness of the prophets of Baal. Oh, Baal! Oh, Baal! Whom, papa, papa, whom, papa, papa, oh, Baal! Oh, Baal didn't get nothing done. They cut themselves with lancets and the blood run. Their God didn't answer. Old Elijah said, where's your God at? Maybe he's on a vacation somewhere. Maybe the sleep needs to be woke up. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm reading it behind the in between the lines now. I believe a lot says, I've got a God don't ever go on vacation. I've got a God never slumbers or sleeps, and I'm not reading between the lines on that one. He never slumbers or sleeps, ladies and gentlemen. His eyes always behold the children of men. Men to God, I'm glad I got a God. I'm glad I got a God. I don't have to cut myself with lances to serve. You know why? He's already been pierced with nails. He has already been pierced with a sword. I don't have to be pierced. He's done pierced and dead in my place for me. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'm not to have a running fit up on this mountain. Amen. Now, the foolishness of the prophets. And the answer is by fire. Then I will say that he had faith in God's power. He said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. He didn't say as he lived, as he might live, as he liveth. In other words, he's alive.
Amen.
He always has been alive. He always shall be alive.
Amen.
He's talking about the eternal God. He said that's why I could have faith in God's power. He said, my the God that I'm serving goes a long way back. In fact, he was here before time was. He stepped out of nowhere.
Amen.
When there was nowhere to step out from.
That's right.
And he stepped out on nothing when there was nothing to stand on. And he sprinkled the stars out into the universe when there was no new stars in the universe to sprinkle them into.
Right.
And he spoke, and the land appeared in the water and out of the water when there was no land. He took the dust of the earth, dust, and made you and I. That's all we are, dust.
Amen.
Dust. Oh, boy, that reminds me of something for tonight. Dust. Dust. If I forget it, somebody remind me of it. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. You're wonderful. Amen.
Amen.
And then not only he had faith in God's power as the eternal God, but as the immanent God. When I say immanent, I mean high in rank, office, and worth. God wasn't just some little Johnny come lately. He said, I'm serving God. Folks, we don't just serve some little Johnny come lately off the street. We're serving God. The only God. The only wise God. The only true potentate.
Amen.
That in His times He approved that.
Right.
Are we willing to wait for them times? I am. I'm waiting.
Right.
I'm waiting for Him to prove it. I'm waiting to see every knee bow and every tongue confess.
Amen.
I'm waiting for the day. Brother Steve preached on that last temptation this morning, and Satan said, hey, all the kingdoms of the world I'll give you if you'll fall down and worship me. But there's coming a day when that's going to be reversed, and old Satan's going to have to say, Jesus, Thou art Lord to the glory of God the Father. He said every knee and every back and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And there's coming a day when the role will be reversed. Hallelujah. I might make a song. When the role is reversed. Old Satan will bow. Yes, sir. And then he had faith in an extraordinary God. By this I mean His Word. By His Word He can dry up heaven. Just dry up heaven. Faith in God's presence. Elijah said, this God before whom I stand.
Amen.
Had faith in His presence. He's here. I'm going to tell you right now, He's here today because I know He's here. You may not like it. It don't matter to me. But I know that He's here because He's on me. And He's in me. And He's preached me a little bit. And He's used me a little bit. I know He's here. I'm standing before Him. But with my eyes, I don't see Him. But I'm a little bit ahead of Job because I know He's at work. Woo! I know He's at work. He done told me He was at work. Hallelujah. He told me that this morning, sitting right there. He's at work. He's at work. Hallelujah. God's at work. The God of glory is at work in the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. He supplied His provisions, and the Lord answered his prayers.
Amen.
He had that faith in God's power. You know, all God had to say was, bird, fly over. You know what most birds drop when they fly over? Well, these birds drop food, meat, and that little water just kept trickling. One day Elijah said, Lord, you know the water's getting pretty thin. God said, I know, Elijah. I knew it before ever since you're here. Elijah said, I know you did, Lord. I've been down this brook long enough to know you must have something else in store. He said, yeah. He said, I want you to head to Zarephath. He said, I got a little old widow woman there. I said, matter of fact, she's out there gathering two sticks right now. She's going to make a little cake and die. He said, you need to go on down there and let her know that there's plenty of meal in that barrel, plenty of oil on that cruise. And when he got there, it was there too. It was there. And he asked that woman for the most costly thing she could have possibly given him. He said, bring me a drink of water. Water was pretty scarce. But when he came down off that mountain, that man that suddenly, and Elijah the Tishbite, when that man that suddenly come on the scene, now I don't want to burn up none of Brother Steve's oil, but the Bible also says, and in those days came John the Baptist. It also says, in those days, Jesus come out of the wilderness preaching repentance. What a God. I'm telling you, God's got a man. God's got a man somewhere. God's got an Elijah standing in the shadows. Somewhere, someplace, there is an Elijah. Let's stand together.